Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America, this is Old School. Sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
There he is.
What up?
What's up, man?
How we feeling? How we doing?
I'm doing all right, man. Just hanging and banging. You know how it is. It's another Thursday. Jay Foreman, Austin Orman, old school to new school way. Brought to you by the Mercado, Certified Piedmontese, Special Grades and Butcher Shop, 84th and Havelock, 30th and Yankee Hill, 85th and Old Cheney, and 168th in Maple. It's 85th and Old Cheney slash Andre, man. I'm losing a little bit off of myself there, Austin. But a little discombobulated, but everything's all good in the hood. We didn't really get to jump in it too much yesterday. The big news coming out of the NFL, and this is also could affect some players as they start to get these contracts, and it might be nothing that's going to happen in 2026 or even in the foreseeable future. It'll probably really come to light, you know, if it does happen, you know, until they get, you know, my age, right? You know, you see the grays popping and everything, but it was really interesting that it was actually a court document that somehow got leaked that the NFL owners slash decision makers colluded with the teams, you know, GMs and contract negotiators to give less guaranteed money throughout the league when it has to deal with new contracts. And how is that, you know, important? What happened to those players in that era, you know, affecting some of the players during free agency, their career length, and then also the amount of money they could get in guarantees in the early part of their career. So which allows it creates a disadvantage for the players that they don't have as much power as far as, like, you know what I mean by that is, if I have a certain amount of guaranteed money in year 2, 3 and possibly 4, how I'm viewed or my play is viewed and how I'm viewed on the team as far as being able to continue my career at one team or not, or even throughout the league, and the perception, you know, either affects you negatively or a positive way. And it all starts with how you're negotiated with and the contracts that you have to sign, you know, and the length of it. And here's it's no different than, you know, there possibly could have been collusion on, you know, not drafting Shedeur Sanders until after the third or fourth round. There's a, you know, so everything's on the table now. Now, some of the things he's done or did pre-draft probably didn't help him much. But then obviously, you know, there was probably maybe a team effort to teach him the lesson. But then also you're teaching players, the players that actually, you know, one of them was Russell Wilson, right? Who's, you know, look, whether you like him, love him or hate him personality wise or personally, off the field, he's been nothing but a positive for the NFL and the Shield and a good representative of the NFL. And he's one of the main big names that was in the case that, you know, it was a collusion not to give him any money, you know, not to give him any too much guarantee. You wonder when you think of the concussion lawsuit, the health practice, you know, lack of, I guess, let's just say being on the up and up when they're evaluating players. That's before the concussion lawsuit. And plenty of other things that have been brought to light. And then obviously now this, when it's business, this is a contract that in this situation, a player, let's say like myself, had earned. We have exceeded expectations. We have met our previous contract or we outplayed our previous contract. So now when it comes due for us to get paid, you know, now it's like, okay, well, let's pay, you know, everybody anywhere from 15 to 35% less on the guarantees. And it's different than NBA contracts. The guaranteed money is the only money that's really the most important to NFL players in these contracts.
Absolutely. And I think when you think about that guaranteed money being so different in the NFL, how really rare it is across the board compared to the NBA or baseball, right? Where it's all fully guaranteed from the first dollar to the last dollar. It's unfortunate that football is the sport without the guarantees because of how violent it is, because of the collisions. Those are probably the guys, I mean, them in hockey, right? That probably deserve and earn the most guarantees. And when Strick and I touched on this a little bit yesterday, Jay, we got some people saying, oh, boo-hoo, poor NFL players. They're still making millions of dollars. It's hard for me to put myself in their shoes. And like, I get it. These guys are still making good money. But for the NFL, where what? The average career is what? Less than 4 years, I think. Something crazy like that. That's that guaranteed money that you most often get, you know, in bulk in your second contract. Some of it's guaranteed for the rookie deals, but it's that second contract where you're really looking to get that guaranteed money. Not everyone's going to make it to that second contract with your four-year deal and then the fifth-year rookie option. And then just the optics of it. Yeah, sure. Maybe it's hard to put yourself in the realm of, oh, this guy only got, you know, $24 million guaranteed instead of the 30 he was looking for, you know, boo-hoo. But it's really the principle of the thing. I tried to get people to understand that. Think about your situation. If your boss and the CEO or whatever of another company talk to each other about keeping your wages lower for the work that you do for no other reason than they think they can get away with it. That's essentially what went on here, right? And if you found out that your boss and another company maybe have friends in a similar industry, but at a different specific company, if they heard that, hey, we could have been making so much more, you know, there's nothing stopping our bosses from doing that other than they didn't want to. And it changed the entire tenor and the tone of maybe negotiations or maybe whatever pay schedule they set, you would be pissed off, and rightly so. So yes, the millions matter. These guys are ultimately going to be fine. But it's really the principle of the thing that I think people are overlooking because they still see the big price tags.
Yeah, everybody likes to come out with pitchforks and say, you know, and look at what they're making. That's not the point. You can't say they're still making millions because they made $6 million less. In that case, in your scenario, $6 million less guaranteed that they can't never recruit, because unless it was a guarantee that they were going to make $6 million plus whatever the base salary was that year, which it really, to be honest with you, when you have a big signing bonus, like you're talking about $24 million, you're generally making the league minimum, right? Yeah. So that $6 million is gone. That interest on that $6 million is gone. And it's an earned money, right? And it'd be no different if somebody, it'd be like two employees, you know, going around, including and going, you know, in and out of the meeting, say, what did you get offered? I got offered this. And then you go in and say, I want whatever Austin got. And then now both you guys walk away with making more money than you ever should from whatever company that you're negotiating against. And it compete in it. And also it gives a competitive advantage for the owners and the teams or the decision makers against the players. It essentially undermines everything that the NFLPA and in conjunction or perception of what the NFL has said that they've been trying to do, negotiate in good faith. And I think it starts here, Austin. I will say this, and before, I know you got a good point. I remember when the new CBA was done and I said, these young players just, you know, screwed themselves because they wanted to essentially smoke weed without being fined. So essentially the owner's like, go ahead, smoke weed. There's a lot of states that you can, right? So we don't have to go into court right now, right? So go ahead, smoke weed. We know you're doing it anyways. God forbid that you don't pass the two street drug test that you have in a calendar year, because that's so much so important to you that you got to do something that affects the way that you can do your job. But since you're dumb enough to do it, we'll do that. So now we know that you're dumb enough to do that, right? That's what the big deal is. You took less benefits for older players, which you eventually will be, right? You're not going to play NFL football forever. So you turned your nose up at the guys that set up the league that's making you the money, that you're making way too much money early in your career. So now you did that. Now let's see if we can pull the wool over your eyes, not once, but twice. And they saw the turn. Listen, you can't fault the owners for trying to get away with something that people knowingly let them do.
And that's on the PA. That is on the NFLPA, right? Which is where one of the articles I read about this, Jay, said that, I mean, obviously this is on the owners, right? For not operating in good faith. Maybe they colluded actively. Maybe, you know, it was more passively. I know Goodell and Kraft were named, and Roger Goodell seems like he'll get out of this okay. He didn't tell an owner to go to the owners and say, hey, we got to knock it off with the guaranteed money. But someone I was reading had a good point that the NFLPA, on the low, let this happen. You know, they didn't go to bat for enough of their players, right? Maybe a little bit for Russell Wilson, who you brought up. Obviously, Lamar Jackson, negotiations with Baltimore. And then Kyler Murray, when he was signing his extension. But someone was saying there's a legitimate case that, you know, these 594 other players who were on a list that ended up not getting released, but signed contracts with some guaranteed money in them from the time span of this investigation. This one outlet is saying that those 594 players maybe have grounds to sue not only the owners in the NFL for its collusion, but pursuing the NFLPA almost for like breach of duty. You didn't do everything that I'm paying you to do as a member of the NFLPA. And so right now, a lot of the blowback is on the league, is on the owners, and that makes sense. Number one, though, the brand is going to survive. If it survived the concussion lawsuits, if it survived the Ray Rice or the Greg Hardy situations, it's going to survive. It's just going to brush it off. It's a bad look, absolutely, but it's going to survive. It's going to be fine. But number two, if you're at the NFLPA, you got to really start getting your ducks in a row and actively be ready to go to bat for your players. Otherwise, you might get smoked with lawsuits from the very players that trusted you with so much of their career earnings.
Yeah, I mean, it's huge, because I think it's going to it'll blow over on the NFL, because it'll be another story, right? Whether it's another rookie that's doing really well or something happens, right? There'll be something else that'll kind of take everybody's view towards something else. Mm-hmm. Now you have to look at the NFLPA. You have to look at every single player rep, because you can't tell me that you because their offices aren't next to each other. But there's a lot of crossovers, players or guys that work in that for the league and go to the PA. You're trying to tell me that you didn't hear any rumblings about that? You're trying to tell me when Lamar Jackson was up for his contract? Now I'm taking a step further now. I'm not personally, but I would think like, okay, well, do you remember when Stephen A. Smith and all those guys that have influence on the mass, the media, or the media guys have influence on the masses, was telling Lamar Jackson that he was an idiot because his mom was his agent, which she was as the title, but he had people also working under that, since he didn't have some sort of big agent, that he was going to take 25% less. That's grounds for suing ESPN or Stephen A. Smith or whoever, wherever they got their information. If they want to really, I'd be suing everybody. I really would.
You can get some, you'll get some coming back to you. You can get some too.
You remember that meme that come out when it was actually a reference to City Boys, and they were talking about bodies. Everybody's getting it. You know what? I would turn into like my man Adrian Broner. I'll be the can man. Everybody can get it. Everybody can get a lawsuit. You know what I'm saying?
Build a polished wardrobe that shows you stay you wherever you go with Mack Weldon. Use code MAC25 for 25% off your first order of $125 or more at MackWeldon.com.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
But right now, it's huge news, and I think it's been kind of swept underneath the rug because it's a bad look all around. It really is. Football is the only sport I know that doesn't have any fully guaranteed contracts, let alone the guys that have earned these contracts. And it's the going rate. It's no different than NBA players, average NBA player. How many times have we seen an NBA player average 6 points, 5 rebounds, and gets $20 million a year? We've seen it, right? A guy that really earns his money, and we're surprised he got that contract, is Steven Adams, right? You got to think that, you know, there's times that when he signed with Houston, it's pretty a lot of money, but there's a lot of guys that make. So these guys in the NFL have earned this money. We're set up based on the market before. Mm-hmm. And when you think about it, when look at Cincinnati Bengals with their first round pick, or Trey Hendrickson, or all that. You think that there isn't phone calls saying don't call here and send two first round picks for Trey Hendrickson? He's had almost 40 sacks in the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. He's had back to back seasons with 16 or more sacks, and that's in the regular season. So 40 sacks, because they didn't make the playoffs, but almost 40 sacks in the last 2 years. He is sitting at home doing the same thing we're doing, watching TV and eating potato chips. Now, obviously, he's working out. And so this is a bigger issue than probably let on. I don't know how far to go, but it does need to get some traction, because there's a lot of players. Just like I know that I saw a little TikTok where some players that might have been receiving gift cards for the, kind of the pay from like 2016. I'm talking about college football players to like recent, where they're able to get some money. There's a lot of guys that those 500, I think you say 94 free agents, they could be in line for a little bit of a surprise in the mail from coming from the NFL or the NFLPA.
It'll be interesting to see if they do enter like some sort of like class action suit and try to get just like one kind of broad settlement, almost like the House versus NCAA kind of deal. Well, it remains to be seen. But I guess then looking forward, Jay, the next question that I would have for you after a little setup is what will it take for NFL players to across the board get guaranteed money? You would think, maybe just looking at this from the outside as a neutral observer, that, oh, this is a really bad look for the league. They need some good PR. So maybe they take a step in the next CBA to guarantee money. No, that's not going to happen. The owners have gotten away without guaranteeing money for so long. I think one of two things is plausible, and I love your thoughts on it. Number one, I don't think the players will get guaranteed money until they get up to 20 games in the regular season. I think that'd be a huge step for the owners and obviously for the players in different ways. I think it would take 20 games in the regular season to get guaranteed money. The only way I think that doesn't happen or wouldn't be plausible is if the owners could find some way to cut a deal, where maybe, with some free agents, you can negotiate your way up to a higher guarantee, 70% and 80%. But do you think it would be in the cards for NFL owners, and would the NFLPA go for, a step in the right direction that just off the bat, 55 to 60% of the contract is automatically guaranteed?
Yeah, I think that would do it. And then you might see a little bit less as far as the whole contract, but I think guaranteed money is kind of like when people used to take a little bit less to play with the Patriots, but know that they would play for, another year or two with the obviously to increase your value when you became a free agent. I think it could be a stair step type of situation. And I would probably even be better. Maybe they could get to 18 games. And then, once they get to 20, it's a higher percentage. I think you have to put everything on the table. There isn't any preseason anymore. The owners don't like preseason because they don't make any money. You could have one preseason game and use that as the fourth preseason game for guys that are on the bubble. And they already do like practices. So it's right there for the taking. But before you even get there, what would it take right now? It would take, solidarity from incoming NFL players, present NFL players, big-time players that are playing, so the faces of the league. It would take Peyton Manning to get on board, your boy. It would take guys, Tom Brady and all those guys, and then I would see some high-profile former players to be in solidarity and walk right the hell out.
So then the next crop of guys that are coming up, right? I mean, I think obviously the guys that you mentioned, that makes perfect sense. But then you got to worry about this 2026 draft class. Who are they in it for? What do they understand? These are guys that will be reaching the NFL for the first time. And you said the last name, Jay, but Arch Manning, if he plays the way that people are expecting, would that help the owners? Would it help the players? Would Arch have to maybe hold out or stay in college? Say, I'm not joining the NFL until, there's guaranteed money on contracts. I don't think he's good enough right now. We'll see after the year. I don't think he's good enough to make that impact on the NFL by himself. I don't think he's the Trevor Lawrence caliber prospect. I don't think he's the Andrew Luck caliber prospect, at least right now. But there's the family name. It's about potential. If he's in line to go number one at the end of the year, maybe Peyton and Eli and some other, family friends that he knows say, hey, this is going to really suck for you. You could have gotten a head start, by declaring after your third year in college, but we can really make you the figurehead of this movement. You can be a legendary figure if you hold out. Maybe you come back to college. Maybe you just don't enter the NFL draft for a year, whatever it is that looks like. I'd be really curious to see how the NFL tries to leverage Arch Manning if he has a good year into joining the league, and how, if guaranteed money is on the table and on the front of mind for Peyton Manning, some of these former players, how they might try to leverage and influence Arch to maybe stay out of the draft until there can be, you know, some changes in the CBA.
Yeah, I mean, he's in a position to make some of those moves, and obviously the position increases if he plays well. You know, right now, to be honest with you, this is where, like, a Peyton Manning, specifically him, and obviously I know he has a great media career and everything like that, but he could still do that or actually get involved. He needs a player of his caliber. We're not talking about somebody like Aaron Rodgers who, you know, wants to solve the, you know, whether the world is flat or round and argue about that, right? Somebody of that stature. And it necessarily might not have to be Peyton Manning. I'd have to really, you know, jog my brain cells that I still have left to see who could be somebody, like, because Peyton has a lot of stuff going on, to step up and be.
You know, what if it was Marino? What if it was Elway?
It was, you know, probably a little long in the tooth. I'm talking about somebody that has some influence. It could be a Peyton Manning. It could be somebody even like a Greg Olsen. It could be somebody, you know, or somebody like that that has some influence that's going to be the head of the PA and that's going to negotiate hard. They're financially set. But if you really want to be that guy and be in conjunction with players coming in forward, and it'll trickle down. Look, these players in college are going to face the same thing. You better find a way to union, and you better get some representation, and you better get these young kids right now. You talk about who they're playing for. They're playing for themselves, and that's the biggest mistake that you can make, because I was fortunate enough to grow up, obviously, with a father that played, right? But I was fortunate also to be around, you know, Alan Page, you know, Carl Eller, Jim Marshall, you know, I knew Dan, you know, met Dan Marino a few times. I saw what it's like when guys transition from the NFL and all that. So I was always very aware of it, you know, to pay, you know, homage to the guys that were able to set forth the path for, you know, just the middle of the road, middle, you know, late draft pick that, you know, exceeded expectations like myself. I never really knew I was playing for a bigger purpose. And these young guys come in strictly playing for themselves. They think they're going to play forever. You will not play forever. You will become a former player very quickly. And that could happen even in college, right? And you could be a former Husker and still be a Husker, but it's significantly different. You could be once you're a former player, you're in a different category. You better buckle up, baby, because this is going to be real rocky roads once you get there, and you need people around you that's going to help and assist you. And it may be a time for some people the same people that are influential or very, very influential to help the NFL collude or whatever, to call some of these big time players out. We know you got your own stuff on ESPN. Get involved with the PA. Peyton knows a lot of guys that have some physical issues, you know, that you used to play with, you know, and I get it. Your time is up, but you need to have a, you know, a bigger influence, and you can do it, because the way that the league would view the things that Peyton Manning says or Tom Brady says, or like somebody like Julian Edelman or somebody like that, there's a ton of them, right? Mm-hmm. Is different than if, say, like a Jay Foreman does it. They're Super Bowl champions. They're still very wide, you know, very new, still, you know, connected to the league. You can't push them around, and you would have plenty of backup with it.
What about also, like Matt Ryan?
But Matt Ryan could do it. You know all the guys. I mean, they all could do it, and they could all do it in conjunction. But if there's ever a time when you have 594 players that got a little bit less money that they earned, along with a couple big time players, if this isn't a time for people to start to come or for them to come together, then I don't know when it is. I don't know how many times you get smacked in the face, but. You know, not only by the owners, but by your own right hand that you're missing. You're going to slap all your other, you know, so-called brothers to get, you know, time that is now to kind of come together.
So I guess we've kind of danced around the question. I just want to, you know, bring it to you directly. What is the result of this lawsuit coming to light? Is it legitimate structural change in CBAs and how the NFL operates, or is it something that owners think they can, you know, wave away with a check and say, nope, we're good, move on, business is normal?
Well, you locked in, right? Because you got a CBA that's already in force. So why would they go and change it right now? So you better, you know, as much as the owners have, you know, some dimes on you and kind of, you know, taking notes, right? You better take this note, and this better be the first thing you talk about. And if they're you're the biggest sport out there, but you don't have as many benefits, and you need to start thinking not just in this time that you're going to do it. You better think well before to the 1950s, all the way to, you know, 30 and 50. What decisions you're making now is going to affect not only the guys in the past, but in the future. NFLPA has done some good stuff where you increase the benefits, but those are benefits that should have been increased before. I'm never going to like turn my nose up by that, you know, and there's time when I get to take advantage of it, you know, I will. But also know that the amount of money that these players are making is a byproduct of the Chuck Foreman, Dick Buckus, and all those guys that didn't have a union or a PA, let alone the decision that they made in the last PA is affecting guys that are here in the real time, right? So now, you know, if you don't want to talk about the old players, well, you could just talk about, you know, new players. Russell Wilson is still playing. There's money that he, you know, I don't care if he's married to Sierra. I don't care if he's done everything great. He's still, there's some money that was left on the table for him, Lamar Jackson, and other players that they earned that they better go back and either try to get now or better make sure that they can get at a later date. And if I'm the owners, I'm out in front of this and try to find a, just send out a blank check. Okay. Right. You know, pay it now. You got, okay. Cause they already made the interest. You're already essentially giving everybody the interest that you didn't pay all the money. So, you know, we'll see where it goes. I think it was an interesting story that the NFL is always fighting it because it's such a brutal sport, but also all eyes are on you because it is the biggest sport going in not only this nation, but the whole wide world. So good segment there. We're going to take a quick break there, Austin. We're going to take a quick break. Jay Foreman, Austin Orman, old school, the new school way. We'll holler at you in a second.
You're listening to Old School with Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Download the mobile app and listen wherever you are on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply. Available in app only.